Hi, I'm Haley, author of the book blog Brook and Binding.
And I'm Maddie, upcoming debut author of Take My Sunshine coming winter 2024. And this is
Lit Sis.
Hey, Mad.
Yeah, Haley.
Don't you have an Instagram?
I do have an Instagram. You can see all that I'm reading at Maddie Reads a Lot.
M-A-D-D-Y,
that
right?
That's right, M-A-D-D-Y.
And then don't you have another one?
I do. I do have a new Instagram that you can follow me for all of my author things at @EmmyGlenz_author.
@EmmyGlenz_author. I love it. I also have an Instagram.
Ooh, yes. Would you like to share?
It's Brook and Binding.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to see anything about Lit Sis itself, you can find information about Lit Sis at Lit Sis Podcast on Instagram as well.
Go check them out.
Hello and happy Friday, Lit Sisners. Today is the first Friday of the month of April, which feels crazy because it's like April 5th. So we're already pretty thick into the month, I guess. But today we are bringing you our LLDs, but unfortunately due to some technical difficulties, Haley and I are recording our sections separately, with a little fancy splicing in there. So I will present first my LLDs and hopefully it'll feel a little normal, except with less responses to one another. So my love for the month was The Marlowe Club Murders by Robert Thorogood. So it is this cute, I said this a couple episodes ago, I'm really into like the cozy mysteries lately. Like I want it to make me laugh, but I want to solve a crime. And so this book covers these older women in this smaller town in the UK called Marlowe. I am assuming it's a small town. It's a real place, but I've never been. And one of them is like, she's very old and she sets crosswords for different papers around the country. And she kind of always is trying to read into things a little bit. But when her neighbor is killed, she immediately thinks that he's murdered. Police are thinking it's more of a suicide situation, but she knows he was murdered. And so, along with the help of two other Marlowe residents who are also older women, kind of on the outskirts of society, they start to investigate not one, not two, but three suspicious deaths. Along with lots of humor, there is an amazing twist at the end, which I did not expect at all. And it is very funny as well. It really hits that cozy spot while also having a little bit of suspense. So, for example, in one scene that like sticks in my brain, they were trying to like access these confidential papers in someone's office whose window was up a scooch. And so in order to not look suspicious, they had the oldest woman dress up like she was a feeble old lady in a wheelchair. And one person served as a distraction at the front of the building. And then the other two attempted to use the wheelchair to like climb up into the window. Well, unfortunately, the distraction ended up causing a fire alarm to go off and all of the people in the building start rushing to the back where the two women are. So that's funny and humorous, but it's also like, oh no, are they going to get out of it? And of course they do, because there's a sequel and a third book on the way. But yeah, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Gave it a good 5 stars. Really did not expect to love it so much.
Hello, hello, everybody. And as Maddie said earlier, we tried so hard to get our technology to operate on the same level. And I was in an area where I didn't have any Wi-Fi, which I was like, I've got service, I'm totally fine. Apparently, though, my service was not being great. And so, due to Maddie's new work schedule and her shifting all around again, we had to make do. So, she obviously recorded her stuff and she said she's going to do a little bit of splicing and whatnot and kind of get it all put together. But like she mentioned too, at some point, I have read, I can tell you new, I only read 2 books for the month of March, which was kind of a bummer for me. And we did talk about one of them already. So if you have not gone and listened to some of our most recent episodes, we did a book review of one of the books that I'm going to talk about. So starting off, my love was the book review book, Everyone on This Train is a Suspect. It's the second Ernest Cunningham book by Benjamin Stevenson. Now, this book is so hilarious. We talked about it a little bit when we did our book review, but in the past, we've talked about how much we love Anthony Horowitz and how he brings the reader in. And like, this is something that we have said that quite a few authors so far this year of 2024 have intentionally kind of taken up that mantle, I guess you could say. Like, I feel like other authors have done it in the past, and Anthony has been pretty consistent with that. However, now I feel like I've read at least three or four books where the author or characters, well, I think it is the author, is specifically talking to the reader and is bringing you in on the story. And this is exactly one of those situations. So Ernest Cunningham is our narrator slash main character. In the first book, it's called Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone. And it's essentially a quote-unquote, like, biography or memoir or something of Ernest, kind of explaining to you, the reader, how everyone in his family has killed someone, what happened when they had the ski resort, like, trip and family reunion time. And the book that you are holding in your hands is a way for him that he was able to process what had happened to him. So Everyone on This Train Is a Suspect starts off with him saying, well, you know, essentially, I was hoping I wouldn't have to write a second one of these because that means people have died. And so here I am again using writing to process people's deaths. And I was apparently there. And so he kind of has become this amateur wannabe detective. And during this book in particular, he is on a train, like the title says, but he has been invited to this author's kind of like a, it's like an author retreat, but it's like this festival. So it's like a crime writing festival. So all of these mystery and crime writers have gotten together on this train for this famous train ride from Darwin to Adelaide in Australia. And him and his girlfriend, whatever, who you get to know in the first book because she is at the ski resort, go to this festival together and go on this train ride. Now, when you have a train full of people who are amateur detectives slash authors of detectives, they are very critical of each other's writings. And then when one of them actually dies, they all become the protagonist of their own story. So it is very fun. It's so witty. I love the way that Ernest talks to the reader. He literally says at the beginning, like, I'm going to mention the killer's name 106 times. So you can keep track of that. And at some point he's like, okay, hey, I don't know if you've been making track of this, but I've made you a tally chart. So here's the tally chart of how many times I've said all these people's names so far in the story. And there's a little bit of back and forth with him about, like, talking to his editor, I think, or agent, saying, like, you know, I don't really know if I want a prologue. I feel like blah, blah, blah. And, like, obviously you are reading a prologue and he's emailing his agent or, you know, whoever, being like, I don't really know about doing this. It's just so funny. And the ending just killed me. Like, it was so good. I just feel like this story set up who Ernest is, and you can enjoy him so much more, because I think in the first book, you're kind of like, who are these people and should I care for them and what's going on? And they're kind of a weird family. But this one, I feel like he really came into his own as a character. And the ending in particular, like, I was, like, so surprised. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, Benjamin Stevenson has done something that I was not expecting, but I've read other authors do before, and it totally threw me off. But it was kind of like a false alarm, like a pretend twist of the knife, which I actually really loved because it just showed that like he had us eating out of the palm of his hand, like as the reader, like I was eating it up, could not set it down. And I was getting to the point where we were revealing like who the murderer was and stuff. And like, I was with our mom and my husband and we were all talking and they kept trying to talk to me. And I'm like, I have 20 pages left. And they're literally saying, I'm the killer. And like, I'm trying to be in the moment and I was getting distracted. But besides that, like literally was hooked and read this book very, very quickly and enjoyed it immensely. Gave it a 5-star. And again, you can hear Mad's thoughts on this because she read it as well. And we have that whole episode that we did of the review of it.
And so my like for the month, I had quite a few like 4 stars that I could choose from. I ended up going with The Other Valley. And oh man, the author's name is escaping me right now. Let me look it up really quick. The Other Valley by Scott Alexander Howard. So I read 9 books this month, and I think a solid like 4 or 5 were in like the like category. So I really liked this book because I got it from Book of the Month, and it's kind of like not really sci-fi. I don't know. It's kind of like fantasy almost. I don't know. It's like scientific. I don't know how to describe it, but it's like time travel-y. So, there exists a valley, and on the valley to the west side, it's that same valley but 20 years ago, and a valley to the east side, it's that same valley but 20 years in the future, and it continues to go ad infinitum. So the people who are in the West One Valley, to them, they're in the main valley, and there's another West One, but to a person on East One of that valley, that one was us too. It's very, a little complicated, but it's very easy to start get into and start to love. So it covers this girl who is being, she is starting to head into her internship year, which is kind of how they find out how they get jobs in their valley. And she wants to work at the council, which are the people who decide who is permitted to visit another valley. Usually it's for bereavement purposes. So like they're going to pass away and they want to see their loved one in the future, or a loved one in the past passed away and they want to see them once again. And again, they have to wait 20 years because if their loved one passed away, they have to wait 20 years, typically depending on how old the person is, to go back and see them. And it's usually right before the event happens. So the council decides all this. And so she's on an internship to become a counselor. And while she's becoming a counselor, she accidentally notices a visitor one day. And they wear these masks. The visitor lifts their mask up for a brief second. And she recognizes her friend's mother. And she's like, oh man, that's their only child. Something must happen to him. And so she's kind of told by the council people to hush hush because they find out she knows. But she's not like penalized or anything. But then she starts to get kind of close to him and becomes a friend with him. And then you flash to almost 20 years in the future and to see kind of how things all unraveled because of what she saw. I could have read whole groups of books in this world. I love the way that it's built. I would say I was kind of expecting a little bit more of a twisty twist at the very end. The book ends up being more of a hero's journey, which I did enjoy as well. But I was waiting for more of like a oh my gosh twist, which would have like left me reeling. However, I am happy with how things turned out in the end. So I gave it like 4.5 stars, a solid like.
And then my like is going to be The Heiress by Rachel Hawkins. I have had a love-hate relationship with Rachel Hawkins. I've given her a lot of leeway. I loved her first book, The Wife Upstairs. This is off of my memory. It wasn't like her first book, but at least I don't think it was. It might have been. Now I'm intrigued. I'm going to check Goodreads. Wife Upstairs. Yeah, definitely was not her first book. She's written a lot, but it looks like a lot more of like young adult stuff. And she helped write X-Hex, which I don't think I knew that, with Aaron Sterling. And I really like Aaron Sterling. I don't know why her name is on there, but anyway, So when I read The Wife Upstairs in 2021, actually I read it in 2020, but it came out in 2021. Very, very enjoyed it. I love that she is taking classic stories that you know and love and retelling them, which is like one of my favorite things. Like if someone does that right, like, oh, it is so good. So she did it beautifully, and I really enjoyed it. I was captivated. I still remember so many elements to that story, and just like the feel of that book was so prevalent. And then the next year, she had Reckless Girls come out, which was a worse, like, rendition of And Then There Were None, which honestly, I did not even know that's what she was going for when I read the book. It was like, I felt like it was kind of out of left field, it was kind of weird. I wasn't like the biggest fan of it. It wasn't horrible, but I wasn't like, yay, this is awesome. Then The Villa came out in 2023 in January, and I was obsessed. I loved it. It was, again, like, could not put this book down. I took it to class with me because I wanted to finish it. Like, I had like 20 pages left or something, and I was supposed to be in lecture, and I was like, I just can't even, like, focus right now. I need to know what's happening. And this one had multiple twists at the very end, layer upon layer, and it was just so beautifully written. It was awesome. So then when The Heiress came out, when I first read the description and the synopsis, I was a little hesitant because I was like, this feels like very complicated because there's like the son of this, the daughter of this person, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, what's happening here? But essentially it is about, oh, hold on, please. Essentially, it is about a husband and wife who live in Colorado, I believe, and just like regular life living. And the husband apparently was an adopted son of a very wealthy family back in North Carolina, but he is estranged from them. And come to find out, his mom, his adopted mom, has recently died. And so the essentially, family wealth goes to him, where the other family members are like vying for that money. They are going after it. They are wanting to have their claws in it and to have the house and to have the land and to do all these things and whatever. And he's just like, you know what? I don't even care because I don't really want anything to do with this. Like, I wish I just could not be associated with these people. And his wife is like, hey, like, you know what? Let's go back. You've not been back for a long time. We need to go back and let's see what's going on here and see if we can make amends because this is your home and it's beautiful. And like, if we could use this money to like set us up for the future and stuff like that. So they go driving across country to North Carolina, and there is so many different layers in this book. I kind of even tell you, like, it was good, but also some of it threw me by, like, threw me for a loop. I'm trying to remember here. I said it felt a little bit flat for me. It didn't feel like much happened overall, and it reminded me of a different book I've read, but I honestly still cannot think of it. It has just a very old southern gothic feel. And it also kind of reminds me of, oh, what's that book? The Riley Sager book, I think. I'm gonna look it up after this. But where you have like journal entries of this old lady who is like, well, this is the end of my life. I probably should tell you all my secrets or whatever. And so you get chapters of the husband's mom that who just died. Her name was Ruby, and when she dies, it's like this big ordeal, obviously. And you get one chapter in her perspective of like each of these husbands and how they all died because she's very infamous for, you know, having so many different husbands and whatever. And oh, it wasn't. Okay, excuse me. So his mom died a while back, but his uncle that died more recently, like his cousin reaches out and is like, hey, like my dad just died. We really do need to figure out all this will stuff. So they go back, and you get those chapters of Ruby, the grandma slash mom of that guy, like the husband, and then you get chapters of the present day when they're driving to the big estate and they're trying to deal with the family members and other things happen, and like secrets are revealed not only through Ruby's tellings of what happened in the past, but also how that connects with what's happening in the present. And honestly, sitting through and thinking about it some more, I feel like the premise is good. There's a lot of good to it. There's a lot of good twists that you don't see coming. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel like you can do too many. There can be too many. There's a lot of deep subplots, twists, and whatnot that's going on. But I think overall it wasn't as bad as Reckless Girls, that's for sure. It wasn't as good as The Villa, but it's like a happy medium. It's kind of like it's not bad, but it wouldn't be like the one I would recommend you reading if you've never read Rachel Hawkins before. So that Riley Sager book that I'm talking about is called The Only One Left. It came out, I think, last year. So again, it's like this old lady who has this like crazy story about her, and you get glimpses of what happened in the past, but you also get what's going on in the future, or like in the present, and she's maybe not fully with it and stuff like that and whatever. So it's got that same kind of vibe, but obviously the storylines are different. So that was my love and my like for the month of March. I did get a couple books for my birthday. It was my birthday month in March. And so we were talking about doing an episode of which books that I got, but I only got a couple. And so one of them was Good Bad Girl by Alice Feeney. One was the new Rebecca Searle Expiration Dates, which just came out a couple days ago, I think. And then I have The Man Who Died Twice, the Richard Osman, which is the second of like the four of that series that I'm always like, I would love to read this book. And I always forget to read them. And they're very cute. So now I have the second one and I have no excuse. And then I also got a book. Let me check my Goodreads really quick here, because I know I just recently added it to my want to reads. So I think my dad was pretty on that and getting it for me. I also got, The Murder Game by Tom Hindle. So I'm really excited to dive into each of these books.
And then I won't spend too much time on this one, but my dislike for the month was The Disappearance of Astrid Brickard by Natasha Lester. I already talked about this one in a different episode about books we wish that we should have did not finish. And I didn't DNF it, but I probably should have. And you can listen to more of my thoughts on this book in that episode. But I gave it 2 stars. And personally for me, I was just losing interest from the get-go. It's supposed to be about these 3 generations of women involved in fashion and kind of how that them being women in a world of fashion that was dominated by men impacts them. And it's a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter all in this family line. And the mother ends up going missing, and she was like on the cusp of this being this famous designer. She goes missing. And I thought that would be like a real cusp of the story, and we could really focus on like what happened to her and how does that impact the other 2 generations. But it really wasn't. It was more just kind of telling each story. And I very much lost interest quickly because I thought it would be a little bit more suspenseful, especially when the book has disappearance on the cover. But it was more of a true historical fiction. And when you actually do find out what happened to Astrid, it wasn't that interesting. And at that point, I'd really lost interest. The book needed heavy editing, and it felt like it was not. It was just kind of excessive all over the place, while also at the same time wondering like, hey, we could have described this thing more. Why don't we focus on this more? I don't know. It just didn't hit the mark for me. So that was my dislike for the month.
this month of April is very crazy for me for my schooling, so I'm not sure how much reading I will be doing. I do still have a couple hours left of the Dune audiobook that I've been listening to. However, a lot of times, like tonight, I tend to, yes, this is at nighttime, I tend to pump myself up through music or just being goofy and trying to not go crazy with all the studying and things I have to do. So by the time my head hits the pillow, I have to actually sleep or I will never sleep. So I hope that after this big boards exam that I have in a couple weeks is over, I will be able to slow down a little bit and read a couple of these books, because honestly, I think I could pump them out pretty quickly. And I've been getting Book of the Month books, which I'm very excited about. I got Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera. I have The Resort by Sarah Ox I've been talking about. I also would love to read Close to Death, the new Anthony Horowitz, but Maddie is getting that one and it's not yet out. Comes out next week. So yeah, I have a huge TBR pile. So it's something that I'm slowly becoming okay with. I also got A Fate Inked in Blood by Danielle Jensen, which I have been seeing like all over the place. So I don't know if it's like a good or bad thing. But yeah, my TBR is super big. But I know I will eventually catch up. It's just for a season. And I know we've talked about in the past where some seasons are very book heavy, some seasons are not book heavy, and some seasons are podcast heavy. And sometimes they're just going out on walks and being in nature and enjoying quiet. So it really just depends. And we can just accept each season as they come. Also, if you've not checked out Fable, I know if you're a Goodreads lover, check out, keep going with Goodreads. They always have great stuff. Fable is also great, a new book lover app. They have some new stuff coming up every day. It feels like they just added like personal DMs available, just really good ratings and a great way to get some reviews out there for authors. So just throwing that out there. But anyway, those are my loves and my likes. I'm hoping that maybe not April, but May, I will have a couple more, and maybe next week I will have Dune finished. So I don't have to say that that's what I'm currently reading. So thanks for taking a break from reading. Now I'll go flip some pages. I'm sure Maddie said that too.
And then the book I'm currently reading is By Baby by Carola Lovering. And I actually haven't even started it yet. I've had it as like my currently reading book since I had it as I started reading this book on March 29th. And I definitely have not even opened it. But it's about these two friends, and one's baby goes missing and the other one realizes that she took it. And it's kind of this like psychological drama that kind of impacts their relationship. Very interested to read more about it and to actually read it. But that is it. I hope you enjoyed Haley's books as well. I know she read two books and we read one of the same books, but I didn't talk about that one. So very fun. You get some more books to listen to. Thank you so much for taking a break from reading. Now go flip some pages.